Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to GreenFirst fourth quarter and fiscal 2023 results conference call. Please note that all lines are muted to prevent any background noise. During this conference call, GreenFirst representatives will be making certain statements about future financial and operational performance, business outlook, and capital plans. These statements may contain forward-looking information or forward-looking statements within the meaning of Canadian securities law. Such statements involve certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions which may cause GreenFirst's actual or future results and performance to be materially different from those expressed or implied in these statements. Additional information about these risk factors and assumptions is included in GreenFirst's MD&A and AIF, which can be accessed on the company's website or through SEDAR+. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. I'll now pass it over to Paul Rivett to begin the management presentation. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and fiscal 2023 earnings call. As Joanne said, I am Paul Rivett, the Executive Chair of GreenFirst. Today, I'm joined by Joelle Fournier, our CEO, Terry Skiffington, CEO of Cap Paper, Ankit Kapoor, our interim CFO, Michelle Lessard, our President, and of course, Gwen Webster, our Chief of Staff. The end of 2023 marked a significant year for us. We right-sized our balance sheet and our business, putting a focus on Ontario, decentralized our paper and lumber operations, and brought on board a new CEO, Joelle, along with a leader for the paper operations, Terry. As we continue in 2024, I'm confident that the steps we took in 2023 position us well, not just for 2024, but for the years to come. We are already starting to witness a positive trend in lumber prices, which bodes well for our future prospects. Despite high borrowing rates currently prevailing, there is a shift in momentum with the U.S. Federal Reserve and Bank of Canada indicating potential interest rates cuts at the end of this year. This boost is much needed for the lumber markets, as the significant rate increases in recent years have negatively impacted U.S. housing starts and, of course, buyer sentiment, resulting in a slowdown in housing construction. In the longer term, the lack of available housing inventory, record levels of immigration in the U.S. and Canada, as well as the growing demographic-driven demand for homes, are expected to have a positive impact on lumber markets. We are starting to see analysts and industry experts increasingly mentioning these factors, and we firmly believe that the lumber industry has passed the inflection point. We anticipate positive tailwinds in pricing in the upcoming quarters. Please also keep in mind there is a decrease in the supply of lumber in the market due to numerous closures in British Columbia and other parts of North America that is continuing in 2024. GreenFirst is fortunate to operate in the business-friendly province of Ontario. On a more somber note, we are still facing continued pricing pressures on paper products, but we have tremendous faith in the abilities of Terry and his team to significantly increase productivity at Cap Paper. Our management team will take us through the results of the quarter and the year, starting off with Ankit giving us the financial highlights. Over to you, Ankit.
Thanks, Paul, and good morning, everyone. The company's net loss in Q4 was $21.6 million with an adjusted EBITDA of negative $18 million. This compares to a net loss from continuing operations in the third quarter of $2.7 million, where adjusted EBITDA was $8 million positive. The third quarter included a U.S. $7 million recovery related to the 2021 duties paid, following the U.S. Department of Commerce's final determination of its fourth administrative review. Net lumber sales recorded in the fourth quarter were $70.1 million compared to $63.6 million in Q3, or 10% higher. Lumber EBITDA compared to Q3 was impacted by lower pricing in Q4. Pricing lowered in the first half of Q4, however, we began to see a rebound in the back half of Q4. This was primarily due to positive sentiment from the Fed Reserve and Bank of Canada giving clear signs to hold interest rates. We also had higher volumes in Q4 as markets started to recover in the latter half. The paper segment was negatively impacted in Q4 due to maintenance-related activities that lowered the rate of production at the paper mill. Net sales in the paper segment were relatively flat at $33.1 million in the fourth quarter. Compared to Q4 of last year, net loss improved by approximately $4.3 million and adjusted EBITDA improved by $9.4 million. This is primarily due to a lower cost profile and duties paid in the lumber segment, partially offset by lower lumber prices and unfavorable results from the paper segment. For the fiscal year 2023, we saw a net loss of $48.8 million with an adjusted EBITDA of negative $30.2 million. This compares to a net loss of $4.1 million and adjusted EBITDA of positive $39.4 million in 2022. For the lumber segment, adjusted EBITDA was substantially lower compared to 2022. Net sales in lumber were $268.4 million versus $398.1 million in 2022. This was primarily due to the significant decline in pricing compared to the high seen in the first half of 2022, driven by monetary tightening. To partially compensate for the decline, our cost profile improved as a result of overall higher volumes produced and lower stumpage fees, which reduce as lumber prices decline. Additionally, the company recorded a U.S. $7 million of duties recovery in 2023 and paid a lower duty rate on its shipments to the U.S. from August 1st onward. Overall, 2023 volumes were also higher as there were less challenges related to logistics compared to 2022. For the paper segment, EBITDA was higher compared to 2022. Net sales were $141 million versus $94 million in 2022. This was primarily driven by higher volume from the restarting of the second paper machine. 2023 saw a significant improvement in unit costs from having two operational paper machines during the year. This was partially offset by a decline in prices for paper products in 2023. The company saw positive results for a majority of the year in its paper segment. However, this trend was negatively impacted by maintenance and downtime in Q4. Corporate and SG&A improved due to lower setup-related costs and the recovery of a previously written off AR balance in 2023. For 2023, finance costs were $2 million compared to $12.8 million in 2022. This was driven by having a lower debt balance and interest rates on its outstanding debt in 2023. For majority of 2022, the company paid interest on its previously held U.S.-denominated high-yield debt. Our debt balance at the end of the year was $23 million as a result of net repayments for the year of $31 million. This included the repayment of the term loan portion of the credit facility, making the company no longer subject to financial covenant ratios under its credit agreement. We continue to manage our liquidity through the volatile lumber markets and harvesting season that requires significant investments in raw materials. We manage this prudently by ensuring tight inventory management at the mill level, supplemented by drawdowns against our asset-based lending facility for the seasonal spend. Our lending facility is supported by borrowings against our inventory. As such, higher levels of inventory are supported by the credit facility during the harvesting season. We also leverage our credit facility's equipment financing portion in order to finance purchases under key strategic projects. This financing was accessed subsequent to year-end. I will now pass it over to Joel first for his commentary on our lumber operations. Joel.
Thank you, Ankit. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, all the shareholders, analysts, and my colleague on this call. I'm honored to speak to you today as the newly appointed CEO at GreenFirst. Since I take on this role, I've been impressed by the dedication and the talent of our team. For those who recall, during the last call, I mentioned that I had the opportunity to meet with all the employees across the sawmill operation. We are making progress, and together, we're actively working towards a common goal to improve the business. After my first 4 months with the company, we had identified short-term opportunity to make the company more profitable. Our focus is on implementing rapid and cost-effective changes that can yield immediate and fast results. Our short-term objective is to drive swift and efficient improvements in our operation, processes, and system. In the short term, we continue to be careful with spending and we manage our costs effectively. But we're also working on developing a long-term and mid-term strategic plan to grow the business. I will be unveiling a comprehensive strategic plan in the second quarter of 2024 that will outline clearly the vision for the future and the step we need to take to achieve it. With this plan, I'm confident that we can position the company to be profitable in the long term. We have access to log supply that will support our future growth, and this is very important. You know, it's a unique situation we are in compared to other provinces in Canada who unfortunately are experiencing a decline in their wood supply due to factors such as forest fire, insect infestation, and other. Additionally, we also benefit from a favorable political environment and a lower stable log cost compared to our peers in Canada. Our main objective with this strategic plan are to utilize the wood available to grow our current business in Ontario. As part of the strategic plan, we are also currently looking and evaluating our SG&A costs, and we are expecting to announce a substantial reduction compared to 2023 in the coming weeks. Our goal is to have a cost profile that will be competitive for the long term. Strategic capital expenditure cannot be done without the mindset of continuous improvement. So to continue to drive a culture of continuous improvement across the company, we have identified specific non-capital expenditure related initiatives to drive a saving of approximately $14.5 million compared to our 2023 results. In the last quarter, we saw the completion of the decentralization and the engagement of Terry Skiffington as our new paper mill CEO. Terry will be discussing the detail of this change and our plan moving forward for the paper mill very shortly. With the successful splits of our lumber and paper mill operation, we are now able to focus on optimizing each business separately. Our general manager and their team are being empowered to make quick decisions and drive the success of each respective facilities. This decentralization will enable us to adapt to market change more quickly and effectively, with the ultimate goal in mind to improve the performance and the profitability of each business. Terry's insight on the paper mill will provide further clarity on our strategy moving forward. In the beginning of 2023, the company closed on the sales of the Quebec sawmill and related operation for $94 million. This move allowed the company to focus its managed resources and capital expenditures on its more profitable sawmills. Based on North American industry data coming from FEA, our mills are competitive, and we feel this can be further improved with our short and long-term effort to increase production and continue to lower our production costs. In August 2023, we were pleased to receive news that the duty rate had decreased significantly from around 20% to 8%. To give you color on this, the change resulted in a substantial cost saving of approximately $9 million. As you are probably aware, we are actively pursuing the return of our deposit duty, recognizing that this process may take several years to complete. We currently have $80 million US of duty on deposit as we speak. As we continue to look at opportunities to monetize our non-core assets, we are in the process to sell and maximize the value of the Kenora land located on Lakes of the Wood. We are working with a planning and design firm. We aim to attract potential buyers and secure the best outcome for the land and for the company. The company is finalizing a new non-binding letter of intent with a third party now. We are optimistic about the anticipated uptick in the housing, as Paul mentioned. And there's presently an housing supply deficit in both United States and Canada. And it was recently announced by the U.S. government that they're going to put the housing strategy in top of their budget for 2024. And presently, they're discussing to put a plan in place to promote building of new houses, and they will try to close the gap with this program they're putting in place as we speak. So it is expected also that the interest rate will begin to decrease later this year, and that will foster a higher price and demand for wood products, as long as what the U.S. government is trying to implement to promote building of houses. So we will be prepared for the lumber market response and will capitalize on the increased demand. By effectively using our wood resources and aligning our growth strategy with the need of the housing market, we aim to position ourselves for success and long-term sustainability in the industry. On the operational side, we saw an increase in both our sales and shipment from our lumber segment this quarter over the third quarter. This was primarily driven by increased demand as a result of positive trend in the U.S. housing start and central bank signaling a halt of future interest rate hike. Additionally, buyers continued to maintain low field inventory level, which helped to increase demand and raise price. During the fourth quarter of 2023, lumber production saw a slight increase over the third quarter. This uptick in production was primarily driven by less maintenance downtime. Overall, lumber production for the entire year of 2023 also showed an increase of 6% from the previous years. In Q1 of 2024, with the initiative we put in place, we are seeing a very positive trend with our production. In the month of January and February, our sawmill operation broke several production records. That's it for this section. I will pass this over to Terry Skiffington. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joel. Good morning, everyone. Today marks my two-month anniversary at GreenFirst. I have a long history in the pulp and paper industry, including previous roles as COO for OG Pulp and Paper New Zealand. I was mill manager for Resolute, now the Atlas facility in Thunder Bay, and previous mill manager and VP for the Cap's Case and Paper Mill. I have a clear understanding of these assets, along with paper grades, North American and international markets, and the importance of the local community. Last year, I was engaged by GreenFirst to advise on paper operations. During this time, I saw the potential for its future and felt compelled to introduce sustainable long-term solutions based on the models that I have successfully worked on in Canada and around the globe, particularly with respect to being successful and competitive in newsprint markets. I came on board as the CEO of Cap Paper in early January with an objective to quickly return the operation to positive earnings. And from more of a strategic point of view, we are also active with the Ministry of Natural Resources with their biomass strategy, and we are doing a feasibility study for a biomass cogeneration power plant at the Cap Paper Mill. I acknowledge that our shareholders and the team may be disappointed with the results from the last quarter. I'm implementing changes throughout the entire mill, which will start turning operational performance around as early as Q2 of this year. The objective has been and still remains for the paper mill operations to consume the sawmill residuals, both biomass and chips, in a manner that produces positive cash flow. A couple of points on the fourth quarter of 2023 performance. We continue with the completion of the second paper machine, which is PM4 startup. We were able to achieve the target operational performance in the fourth quarter. And PM5 operational performance was close to target up until the end of the third quarter. The mill made a positive contribution to EBITDA for the first three quarters of 2023. However, prices declined and numerous operational issues contributed to the negative EBITDA in the fourth quarter, as mentioned by Ankit. The mill experienced a planned capital shutdown in late October that did not go as expected, and there were many operational problems and challenges post that shutdown. As mentioned in my opening remarks, we are aggressively making changes at the paper mill and are underway with a cost reduction plan targeting all levels of the P&L and expecting to return our consumptions to pre-COVID levels with two machines operating at standard. I will pass back over to Joelle to complete the earnings call on a sustainability note one our entire company is incredibly proud of.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry. You are right, we are extremely proud of our forestry operation base solely in Ontario, where we focus on sustainable practice. We prioritize environmental stewardship by promoting biodiversity, maintaining forest health, and complete utilization of the tree we harvest. Our commitment to sustainability extends to all aspects of our business, ensuring that our lumber and paper products are produced safely. This not only protects our employees and the environment, but also long-term value for our stakeholders. I would like to say and mention that we're proud our Gordon Consent Forest near Kapuskasing has been FSC certified for 20 years now and was the first forest to be FSC certified in the Canadian Boreal Forest, showcasing our dedication to sustainable forestry. Our team is committed to excellence and implementing best practice for a sustainable future.
Thank you very much, Joelle. So that ends the formal part of our presentation. Turn it back to Joanne to take questions, please. We'll submit your questions into the online portal here. Thank you. Okay, so our first question is, can you provide any insight on expense reduction initiatives? So I turn it over to you, Joel, for that one, please.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I can share with this group that we have been comprehensively reviewing our operation, and part of our cost profile improvement is due to finding some saving in the mill. We did improve our cost from last year, from 2022 to 2023, and we have a comprehensive plan right now in place to continue to reduce our costs going forward for 2024. In fact, like I mentioned in my script, we did identify a $14.5 million of cost reduction and other productivity improvement for 2024. This plan is supported with clear initiatives, you know, clear action plan, who's going to do what by when, and we're going to continue to track this and make sure we deliver. We do expect our SG&A also and overhead to improve in the first half of this year. Like I mentioned earlier, we did put in place a comprehensive SG&A reduction plan, and we're going to make some announcements in the next coming weeks to unveil what will be the saving. In addition, our goal is to increase production, and like I said, we do have initiative in place to increase production. Every time we can increase production, that will reduce our unit cost and will make the company more profitable in the long term. There's many initiatives we do have in place to increase production. One of them is, we did implement an initiative program with the employee, and we're very pleased with the results that we see all across the mill so far.
Thanks, Joel. And I would add that, you know, we are seeing productivity records being broken at our mills. And when the board hired Joel, it was a singular focus on productivity and efficiency and getting us to first quartile. And Joel singularly focused on that. We have a follow-up question with respect to, can you elaborate on the substantial cost reduction program? I think, Joel, you just mentioned that. Like, Joel will be coming back in the second quarter with an announcement on a comprehensive cost reduction plan, and we look forward to giving that to you. As I said, he's got a singular focus on getting us to first quartile, top quartile, and we'll be giving that to shareholders in the second quarter. Our next question is, when do you expect to receive the $9 million in duty income, and can you provide the overpayments for 2022 and 2023? I think, Ankit, you're...
I think just again to reiterate, the $9 million in Canadian is the difference that we recorded in 2023, which represents the delta between what we paid in 2021 versus the final rate that was determined to be applicable to 2021. We're uncertain on the timing of the settlement, and it's subject to the industry-wide settlement, as Joel mentioned. Our total overpayment, though, compared to our peers, is approximately $22 million USD. But subsequent to August 1st, we did align ourselves with peers, which has indeed helped our bottom line and cash flow from operations.
Thanks, Ankit. Our next question is, with respect to newsprint pricing falling, do you expect to shut the second line down or take downtime? I think that's clearly a Terry question. Before I hand it over, though, I would emphasize that we have seen our competitors shutting down facilities. It's quite unfortunate for Northern Ontario. We've seen Domtar shut the Espanola mill, and we've seen the Terrace Bay facility shut down. It's historically been feast or famine on chips and the utilization of chips, and right now there is a overwhelming supply of chips that can't be consumed. Our mill in northeastern Ontario is extremely important to the Northern Ontario ecosystem, and we're very focused on doing everything we can under Terry's leadership to make that mill as good as it possibly can be. But with paper prices as low as they are, it is very challenging. So, Terry, I'll hand it over to you to answer specifically.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, just to reiterate, the market conditions right now, it's very, very difficult. Pricing has come down significantly through 2023, it's not appearing to rebound anytime soon. At this time, in terms of CAP being able to maneuver, let's say, in these conditions, our focus at this time is all about increasing our operational performance, and as Joelle had mentioned, getting our unit costs down. The simple, most effective and fastest way to do that is through increasing our plant output. And then secondly, it's every line of the P&L in terms of our cost structure to pull out costs, particularly with our consumption levels. And what I mean by consumption is all of the purchased materials, everything from energy to chemicals to all the supplies that we need to make a ton of newsprint, get those consumption levels back down to where they can be and where they were, let's say, pre-COVID. So that is our particular focus right now. The truth is all options remain possible. We'll continue to evaluate other options, but at this time it's very much to get the mill positioned where it can be competitive in these very difficult market conditions.
Okay. Thank you, Garrett. Very quickly, we did talk a little bit about the Kenora land, but there's a further question with respect to what we're doing with that land. And so, Michelle, can you talk a little bit more specifically with respect to Kenora?
Yeah, sure. So on Kenora, so we no longer have an active LOI for now, but we're in active discussion to renew it. I would like also to add that we are also in discussion with another group who's interested to the entire property. So what we're looking at the end of the day is to sell the entire property and to use that money for the CapEx in our sawmills.
Thanks, Michelle. There's a question with respect to the going concern note in our financial statements. Ankit, that's over to you to address that, please.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Paul. So the going concern note, it is cautionary in nature, just like the several risks we disclosed in our AIF. One thing I can comment is the board and management is very confident on the several meaningful levers that we've disclosed as part of that note, which includes the potential sale of non-core assets, just like Michelle alluded to, the Kenora land, our availability under a credit agreement that we're exploring. So again, it is cautionary in nature, but from management and board perspective, we're pretty confident that as we pull these levers and as lumber prices recover, we'll be in a position to eliminate this note in the short term.
Thank you, Ankit. And I'll just add that, we are continuing, as we've mentioned in the past, we do have a very clean balance sheet from the sales of assets that we've sold, not only the property, Quebec mills, and that has allowed us to take off the extremely high, expensive debt that had very oppressive covenants, and as Ankit has said, to put us in a position to have a very clean ABL that we have availability on. But we are continuing to look at monetizing, as we've talked about several times already on this call, the Kenora land. We do have a very large pension surplus. We are also looking at monetizing other available property. And there is a question with respect to the U.S. duties. We are always looking at ways to monetize that. Again, you know, we do feel we have significant liquidity, and so we don't want to do anything that would be done at a below market price, because we do feel that these areas of liquidity will be able to support some of the CapEx initiatives that that Joel is looking at. But please rest assured that we are looking at a number of available opportunities for us to get liquidity that we have and we can act on. I now go to, there's a question with respect to the CapEx budget. So I was mentioning CapEx. So Joel, maybe you can talk to that.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. So the question here was around CapEx and how it's allocated right now between grow and maintenance. So, you know, the way we allocate our CapEx at the beginning of the year, it was heavily towards maintenance of business. The market was uncertain. You know, the price were a little bit lower last year. So we continue to be prudent with where we spend money. So we identify only critical MOB that needs to be done in the mill going forward. But, you know, we do have a lot of good projects in our back pocket and ready to go. Project with high ROCE. So as the market improve or continue to improve, and liquidity become more available, then we're going to look to introduce some of those strategic CapEx in 2024.
Great. Thanks, Joel. There's a question with respect to where we are on utilization, and utilization being in the 80 to 81% range in 2023, and how we expect to change that. I guess, Joel, that's clearly a question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. So, you know, as I mentioned in my script there, we're always looking in ways to improve production, because improving production means for the sawmill side that we're going to reduce costs. So we have several initiatives in place to increase the production for 2024, and we should expect to see an improvement this year.
Very good. There's a question with respect to cost pressures and trends and what we're seeing with respect to labor, raw material costs, et cetera. Maybe that's a joint question maybe for you, Terry and Joel.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Paul. So from the newsprint side, it's an interesting question. I mean, the traditional cost pressures would come from fiber and energy. And however, that is not the case at this time. And Paul mentioned there is a surplus of fiber in Ontario, and the energy costs are actually quite stable, or even slightly declining. And for us, that means electricity and natural gas. The cost pressures are really all about the consumables, and we're feeling the same thing that every business and person feels, which is with the high inflation over the last number of years, everything that we purchase for running the facility, supplies and services, all of our consumables, all of those have seen significant increases in price, let's say, over the last number of years. And as I mentioned earlier, so our focus at this time is to get our consumptions down as much as we possibly can. And actually what I've said before is back to pre-COVID levels, where the mill was running with significantly lower consumptions than we are today. So it is very achievable, and that's basically how we're dealing with these external cost pressures.
Okay, thank you, Terry. And I may, you know, a few things I would like to add there for the company and mainly for the sawmill side. Everybody know that during COVID and after COVID, we have serious inflation in all the consumable that we have across the business. You know, being many years in the business, I saw some consumable that went up in the range of 30% after COVID. So, but having said that, if you look at our costs from 2022 and 2023, we were able to reduce our cost by increasing production. And going forward, we do have a comprehensive plan to look at every and all consumable that we have in the sawmill, and we're challenging everything here to try to continue to reduce the cost and how much money we need to operate the business. The question is also around the labor. So labor is it's definitively a challenge all across North America. But I would say it's a challenge for us too. But I would say we're kind of fortunate in a way that our turnover is lower than some of our peers in other regions. Having said that, we do have comprehensive initiative to try to retain and attract more talent. So we want to be the employer. We want to be an employer of choice. We're looking to drive more engagement within the business to make sure we retain our employee and reduce the turnover rate so we could keep our labor where it needs to be. Thank you.
Thanks, Joel. We're starting to run out of time, so I'll say we'll take one more question. There's a question here with respect to, with such a large U.S. duties on deposit, are we susceptible to an opportunistic buyer of the company? What I would say is there are large deposits in all of the competitors in Canada, but we are, rest assured, our shareholders should rest assured, we are doing everything we can to look at opportunities to monetize those duties, but we want to do it at a fair price. So we will, you know, we'll work with third parties to find that if it's doable. But if it's not doable at a fair price, we do not want to liquidate at something that would be seen as unreasonable by our shareholders. But with respect to an opportunistic buyer, we don't think that that's necessarily going to come into play. All of our competitors have these large duties on deposit. So with that, I'd say, thank you very much, everyone, for all your support. We look forward to talking to you very shortly on the first quarter. And I'm confident in our continuing ability to drive further success at GreenFirst, particularly with respect to the leadership of these two gentlemen, Joel and Terry, driving efficiencies. We also want to thank Barb, Candace, and Sean from our board for their contributions to the board. And thanks again to everyone on this call and all of our shareholders. Thanks again to you for your ongoing support and confidence in GreenFirst. And we look forward to speaking to you soon about the first quarter. So goodbye for now, and thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.